I was born bold.
The new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson on SEN.
The wonderful world of wine for Berwick Jaguar Land Rover. Closer than you think.
Georgie Samios joins us. Missed him last week. I tell you what, the footy season's over. I know you're a Bomber supporter, Georgie. Are you happy it's over or not?
I am actually happy it's over. Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Tim. Yeah, it's actually nice now to be able to watch the footy and just enjoy it and not throw things at the TV every afternoon.
Will your wine consumption go down now that the footy's over?
No, I think it'll stay the same, but the stress level, the blood pressure will certainly go down. Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot of questions lined up. I'll let the Wisp go first, and then we'll fire all these questions that have come running in for you from our great listening audience.
Hey, before we get to all that, George, are you familiar? I think Scotty Pendlebury, who we're going to actually talk to out of 8 o'clock this morning, has the Pendlebury Mornington Peninsula Pinot out. It's a commemorative wine selling for $200 a bottle. It must be a nice drop.
Yeah, I heard that and saw it yesterday, Tim. You know, there's a bit of a fashion now. Obviously, Carl Hooker released his wine, which I have tried from the Swan Valley, from his family's vineyard. It is actually a very good little wine, smart little wine. Haven't seen Pendles' wine yet. You know, what else is 2020 going to give us? You know, in the old days when you guys celebrated a milestone, you probably got a stubby holder or a barbecue apron made or something. But now the boys just go out and release a wine, and you know, the Collingwood supporters, I think, will rush to this. I don't think many of them could even spell wine, let alone spend $200 on a single vineyard Pinot from Mornington. But no, I'm looking forward to getting a bottle and trying it. 318 bottles, I think. So he's sort of in your territory, Tim. Just 300 bottles and keep it exclusive.
Oh, they'll sell out. They'll sell out very quickly. Actually, just on the subject of Collingwood, we know that Eddie was at the Plink Flamingo the other night up there on the Gold Coast. Do you know what he might have been drinking up there?
Yeah, well, we know that Eddie's a big Penfolds man, but the Pink Flamingo and Penfolds, I don't think go hand in hand. I reckon he was probably drinking something like a Prosecco Spritz, which is Prosecco with Aperol and soda. And he would be doing it, of course, for educational purposes, to come back with a recipe for all of the publicans back here in Melbourne, that when they reopen, they can do their own version. But
he was doing homework, George. He was doing some reconnaissance.
He was doing a little bit of that. Are you there, George, still?
Hello?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I think we've lost George.
Well, are you there, Georgie, or not? We'll have to reconnect with Georgie. We'll hang up, George. We'll get back to you. Got a bad line there for Georgie.
A lot of questions coming through, Gary. A lot of people have missed George.
You back, George?
You ask me some of those questions. See if I can answer some of those questions for you.
Well, Wispy, can you answer them? You think you know everything?
No, I don't. There's a couple there that I don't think I can answer. He's back. George, you there again?
Yeah, I am. Sorry, boys. I don't know what happened there.
We don't know what happened to you there.
That's what happens when you have a go at Eddie, mate. Your phone drops out.
Yeah.
Hey, the Collingwood boys are about to hop on a flight later today. So they're going to fly from Queensland to WA. No, actually, I think they're flying tomorrow. Sorry. They're not going today. They're going tomorrow. Wine. When it's up in the air, does it change at all? Do the characteristics of it change at all up there in the air?
Yeah, they do, actually, Tim. That's a very good question. The wine itself doesn't change, but you do, of course, because the air in the plane up that high is fairly dry, and humidity basically affects your sense of smell. And we know that most of our taste actually comes from our sense of smell. So what happens is a wine generally loses its fruitiness, and what is left behind is the dryness from the acid or the tannin. So when the teams are building their wine lists for the planes, there's a bit of a science to it, that they have to get wines that are not too tannic to start with, so that the fruit isn't overpowered by the dryness. So it's often interesting when you do try a wine before you get on the plane, and then you try it on the plane, it actually looks quite different.
George Samios is with us. Hundreds of questions have come in here. Top of the morning to Gary, Tim and George. I want to impress a girl with a nice wine for our first date post-lockdown. What do you recommend? That's from Camillo.
I think a really safe thing is to buy a good bottle of Pinot. Now, whether it's Pendles is $199 special, but I think if you go to somewhere like... You're sort of putting a lot on early without knowing. So I think maybe go to Yarra Valley, look at Yarring Station, Coldstream Hills, Oak Ridge. Spend $30, $40, $50 on a nice bowl of Pinot.
Somebody else sent a text in before, George. I think we have spoken about Gamay before, which is it's very similar to a Pinot and a Beaujolais, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Have you got a recommendation for a nice little Australian Gamay?
The Sorenberg makes one from Victoria, which I quite like. A little bit hard to find. There are a couple of guys in Victoria that make it, and there's a little bit in South Australia. But look at the Sorenberg. It's a quite good little wine.
What about a wine for the Wooden Spooners, the Adelaide Crows? I mean, it's not a great thing to celebrate, by the way, but everybody needs, most people need a reason just to open a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah, and I think if you look at South Australia, they're pretty parochial on things like Shiraz, obviously, but sparkling Shiraz, you know, interestingly, they love it over there. It's, you know, got a long history, and I think at the start of the year, they probably could have bought two bottles. You know, one would have been a premium Sepulchre sparkling for a couple of $100 or a bottle of Lambrusco for 12, and I reckon they opened the Lambrusco because they cracked the wooden spoon. So I think at the start of the year, you go in with a lot of hope, but then you end up actually disappointing yourself and drinking down a little bit.
Well, what about the Hawks? They were based in the Barossa Valley. They've had a couple of retirees. Ben Stratton, the captain's retired, and Poppy, the little forward pocket, both three-time premiership players. What would they celebrate with out of the Barossa that night?
I think they would have just stuck to the traditions, and the wine of the week later on comes from one of those wineries, Yolumba. But I think you stick to those old wineries that have been there a long time, like Yolumba, and celebrate the old guys. I thought they managed that well. And if I can jump on the footy bandwagon, I think Tommy Bell Chambers would be enjoying a couple of nice glasses now. And I shout out to him. He was one of my favourites of the Bombers. So good to see that he's got the next stage of his life coming up.
Georgie, Tyrrell's Rufus Stone Shiraz, under $20. Is that good value?
Yes, great wine. In fact, it was close to being wine of the week a couple of weeks ago, but I picked something else over the top of it.
Nice.
What about because the seasons are starting to change and we're going from sort of winter into spring and it starts to warm up a little bit, is it rosé time yet, not, George?
I think rosé time is generally preliminary final weekend, which would have been last weekend. You fertilise the lawn and you get the rosé ready. That's sort of the benchmark for me. And you do your fire alarms in a couple of weeks, remember, with daylight savings kicking in. So I have those milestones to let me know when to change.
Okay. Now, when we come out of lockdown, you've promised me that you'll take both Gary and I out for lunch somewhere. Have you actually identified where it is that you're going to be taking us yet or not?
I think we'll go into the CBD area because I think we should support our restaurant customers there. I like the George on Collins there, Greg Cahan, great venue. When he reopens, I think we pop down there and have a little lunch or a dinner with a couple of decent bottles.
What about the best wine bar in Melbourne? Have you got a suggestion?
I like the old school Jimmy Watson wine bar still in Lygon Street. That sort of brought wine to Melbourne people. But then I think if you look at some of the newer places that have got bars attached, I still like Cumulus, where you can go and have a decent glass of wine at the bar. There's some great venues, and when they reopen, let's get in there and support them.
I think we've lost Gary, so we'll just keep going though, George. What do you think of Sons of Eden Wines in Eden Valley? That's come off the Temper text this morning.
Yeah, great wines. Eden Valley, being a cooler part of the Barossa Valley, displays really good elegance in their reds in particular, but you see some great whites, and they're as good as anyone from that area.
We're talking about Gamay before. This has just come through from Chris off the Temper text as well in Mitcham. Punt Road, Yarra Valley do a very nice Gamay as well.
Okay, haven't seen that.
You're not familiar
with
that one? Redmond's Coonawarra Cab Sav, you're familiar with that one?
Yeah, great wine. I think it was a wine of a week, probably a month or so ago, and I had another bottle of it recently. Very good wine.
And, boys, I've been looking into some natural wines, which include organic and biodynamic. Is the taste compromised? And if so, why? George, what do you think? Because I know we make a wine which is purely organic, and I don't think the taste is compromised in any way. You there, George? I think we've lost George as well. So what we might need to do now is we'll get George back on the line. We'll take a break. We'll get George back on the line and he'll give us his wine of the week. We'll be back shortly.
I was born bold.
The new Big Bertha family from Callaway Golf. Engineered for distance, any way you swing it.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Well, I do this with some degree of trepidation because I was talking to myself for about 3 minutes there. Georgie, are you back?
I am back.
Nice.
I'm here too, Gary. I'm still here. Holding the joint together. Hey, you know
what? Right. I won't criticise Eddie ever again. That's it.
Hey, Gary, when you were talking to yourself, what is it that you said? Because it might be a lot more interesting than some of the things you've actually gone to air with this morning.
That's a very good point as well. No, I was just going to ask you, we've got all these questions coming through. I'm trying to keep up with them. But
lots.
One of them was, what temperature in a wine fridge do you keep your red wine?
I think anywhere sort of between 8 and 12 is good. And in fact, any temperature is okay as long as it's consistent, but around sort of 8 to 12 is a good mark to have it.
Hey, George, thanks for the Tassie sparkling tip a few weeks ago. This is off the temper text. I did some research and they tell me that Ed Carr is Australia's premier sparkling winemaker, so much so that they call him the physicist. Is that right?
Physicist. Yeah, they do. He is a gun, that guy. If you ever want to talk to anyone about sparkling, he's the one. Yeah, he's a Dr. Doodle of sparkling. He talks to the grapes and they move whenever he wants them to move. He is very, very good.
Maybe we'll give you the lemonade and we'll go to Ed from now on then. Pfizer in the Rutherglen make a fantastic Gamay. I've never heard of that one, but very, very well priced at around $20 too. So for those of you that like a lighter style red, a Pinot style. Try the Gamay or the Beaujolais. Both good drops.
Yeah, that's
right. Georgie, time for the all-important. Your recommendations, they're a bit like Warren Buffett gives his stock market tips out. It moves the market. When you give your recommendations, the wine market gets moved straight away. So all the different bottle shops around town, they listen, and as soon as you drop it, they stock up on it. So what's your recommendations for the week?
Well, this week we've gone back to Barossa, and we've gone to one of the oldest wineries in Australia, in Yolumba. Still family-owned, classic old winery, makes some amazing wines. When the borders open up and you can drive into the Barossa Valley, you go visit Yolumba, and the beautiful old sandstone winery there is worth visiting. They released a new wine probably a month or two ago, and I was reading all about it from lots of people, and I thought, I better go try it. And it's just called Yolumba Barossa Shiraz. It's from the Samuels Collection. So Yolumba Barossa Shiraz, Samuels Collection. You'll buy it for about $20 to $22. It's a 2018 vintage, is their first release of it. It's a really, really smart little wine. And if you can, you'll be able to find it. You might have to search a little bit. Get online and find who's ranging it near you within your 5K so you can go pick it up. It's a great little wine.
Well, I've got that down. The Yolumba Barossa Shiraz, the Samuels Collection, $20 to $22 bucks, the wine of the week. Very nice to have you back, Georgie boy. A few little gremlins in the system today, but that's
no
fine.
Problems.
We got there in the end.
Good on you, boys. Have a good weekend.
You too, George.
George Samuels. And the wonderful world of wine is brought to us by Berwick Jaguar Land Rover. Closer than you think, and they're getting closer to opening up as well. They can certainly help you out still, so you can jump on the line, give them a call at any stage. And hopefully soon they'll be back up and going.
Are you more of a red man in the wintertime and a white man
Shiraz.
In the summertime?
Shiraz. Grenache. Shiraz. I like a little combination. Yes, I am. What are you?
A bit of both. Mainly reddish in the wintertime, more the whites in the summertime. Will you be coming out to lunch with us when we catch up with George a little bit later, when we come out of this lockdown?
But that'll be the longest lunch that you or I have been to. You have to get the day off. You have to get the night off reading the news, Whispers.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring Mitch with us and we'll send him back to read the news at about 5:45, okay?
Well, I'll be watching that news. No, I think there's going to be a lot of long lunches coming up, hopefully sooner rather than later. Now, Scott Pendlebury in the next hour, he's going to join us straight out of 8 o'clock if my system continues to hold up. And then Adam Spencer is going to give us an unconventional club review of the Sydney Swans. Author, comedian, media personality, passionate Swannies man. That'll be a lot of fun. First, let's have the 8 o'clock news.